We believe that God made full disclosure of himself in Jesus Christ. We further believe that Jesus Christ and some of the great statements that he made, beginning with I am, told us who he was and who he is. And today we continue this series of sermons with the statement, I am the bread of life. My text is from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I will begin reading with verse 9 and be reading selected passages on page 928 if you'd like to follow me. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And then at verse 35, the next morning, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. The people were electrified by the miracle. A lad had stepped forward with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, and 5,000 people had been fed, 12 baskets of fragments left over. He must be the leader that they were looking for, who could make things better for them. They surged forward to be with him, and he withdrew into the mountains to be alone. The next morning they were waiting for him, but they had bread on their minds. They wanted more miracles from him. And I can tell you today that anyone promising bread for everybody can draw a crowd almost anywhere in the world today. Bread sustains life. It is needed for life. Political leaders rise and fall on the question of bread. Historians still wonder how a madman like Hitler could come to power in Germany, a nation of education, culture, art, and religion. And I can tell you that he came to power on the question of bread. The German economy was staggering under the huge reparations from World War I, and it could not provide the basic necessities of life. And on the rising tide of frustration, the need for bread, Hitler came to power. From time to time, we get a glimpse into what it's like down where the people live in Soviet Russia. There is much talk about the need for more consumer goods for the people. People have to stand in line to get the basic necessities of life in that society. And there must be concern in the inner workings of the Soviet government over the question of bread. Bread. In this nation, elections, large and small, we frequently hear the issue, economy. The real question is bread. Will I have enough money to buy the things that are needed for life or will the staggering, faltering economy deprive me of my capacity to provide bread for the folks I love the most? By the Sea of Galilee and the long ago, Jesus was dealing with one of life's basic questions, the question of bread. And he dealt with it in such a fashion that the crowd was electrified. He took a little and made a lot. And everyone had enough to eat and more. It's the kind of things that will draw a crowd in any society at any time. So, note with me first of all that the hunger of this world is real. The physical hunger that stalks the face of this earth is real and grows worse with the passing of every day. No one really has a handle on it. We do what we can, but still the vacant eyes and the bloated bellies of little children from places like Ghana and Biafra and Ethiopia stare out at us from our television sets. And we sit in all of our abundance trying to relate to the horror of this condition where there is no bread. Some of the hunger is by political systems that are insensitive at best and capricious in their intentions at worst. The population of the world today is 4 million. The experts tell us that it will double to 8 million in less than 40 years and will probably stabilize, they hope, at about 11 billion somewhere out in the future. But you can be sure that your children and mine and your grandchildren and mine will grow up in a vastly different world in this country than we have known. And the basic issue will be the question of bread. The demand for food is growing stronger. The supply of food is shrinking. More than 10,000 people starve to death every day. The question of bread is real, and it is urgent. Someone has written a new twist on an old nursery rhyme. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do, so she gave them some broth without any bread, and she whipped them all soundly and put them to bed. There are many of God's children tonight who will go to bed without bread to eat and have little or no hope of ever having enough. The hunger of this world is real. Make no mistake about it. But there is another hunger that Jesus talked about that day in reaction to the crowd that wanted more bread. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never die." In Matthew's gospel, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Even if the stomach is filled with a sufficiency, that is not all that life requires. There is a hunger, a gnawing of the spirit that must be filled as well. Man lives by truth, by wonder, by worship. These hungers must be satisfied. Jesus was using the crowd's reaction to the obvious to teach them and to teach us a deeper truth. There is a hunger of the heart that must be filled. As the poet said, "Not only by bread man lives, but by awe and delight and wonder still, by glory of the sea and sky and the mystery of the purple will." Or Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, came close to what I'm saying when he wrote, "If thou hast two loaves, sell one and buy lilies." We need more than bread to really satisfy ourselves, for there is a hunger in you and in me that mere bread like this, will not fully satisfy. When Shackleton, the explorer, lost his ship Endurance in Antarctica and prepared his men for an arduous journey, he said, "We must travel light. You must throw away everything and anything that is not needed to sustain life." It was only with reluctance that they carried enough of this kind of bread to sustain them, and which would make the difference between life and death in a few days. What did they keep? They kept photographs. They threw away their money. They kept pictures and letters from home, from wives, children, parents. It was food for their souls, a stimulus for strength on an arduous journey, a feeding of the spirit that can make legs walk and arms work and the will function in a context of suffering. And Shackleton wrote, sovereigns, money were thrown away. Photographs were kept. The hunger of this world is real. There is a physical hunger that stalks the earth for many. And many who hunger for bread like this will never know enough as long as they live. But man shall not live by bread alone. There is a deeper hunger of the heart, just as vital, just as crucial. Life depends on two kinds of bread, real and spiritual. And Christ is committed, His church is committed to meeting both of these hungers. So, note with me secondly that the response of Christianity to both hungers is to share. Everything is based on sharing. If some were not farmers and millers, makers of bread all of the time, then all of us would have to be farmers and millers part of the time. We are interdependent on one another. The Christian response to both real hunger and spiritual hunger is to share. We share our bread, we share our Christ. We must share what we have so that others might live. Or to put it more graphically, we must learn to live more simply so that some might simply live. So often this sharing of substance, of real bread, has to come first. If a person is so hungry for food that they cannot see straight, this reality dominates their lives. Our missionaries have always recognized that. As they have gone forth to the ends of the earth, they have tried to lift the lot of the people they have been preaching and teaching. They have tried to improve their capacity to meet all of life's needs, and in the process to tell them about Christ, who fills that inner hunger that bread cannot satisfy. If a person is so hungry that their stomach is rumbling, they will not hear our holy words about Jesus Christ. We must learn how to share. Let me give you just one statement that illustrates what I'm saying. At present, the United States, with 1/15 of the world's population, uses well over half of the raw materials consumed in the world each year. If you were to be invited to the fellowship hall for dinner one evening and there would be 300 people there, and you arrived and 20 of the people had half of the food, we would have a crisis right here at Peachtree. People would be angry at the greedy 20, while 280 is standing around with not enough. And I can tell you, we've got to face it. The people of this earth, in mounting, rising animosity, will not allow us to continue to do this. We must, in humility and compassion, learn how to share our abundance with others. And while we share our abundance to meet the needs of real hunger, we must also share our Christ to meet spiritual hunger. D.T. Niall said that evangelism is one beggar telling another where to find bread to eat. That is the spirit in which the church goes forth to evangelize, to woo, to win for Christ. When G.J. Romanes died in 1864, he left some notes, and they were published after his death. Among those posthumous notes, we find these words: there is a vacuum in the soul of man which nothing can fill save faith in God. Distinguished scientist or serious banker, classroom teacher or village mechanic, parish priest or neighborhood paperboy, there is a vacuum in every heart that can only be filled by God. We must share our Christ with one another. How can I say it with greater power? Perhaps an example or two will help. A well-dressed man, a man of business, called and asked to see me late one afternoon. I liked the cut of the man. I had not met him before. Well-dressed, almost compulsive in his sartorial elegance, his vocabulary indicated immediately that he was a well-educated man, a good choice of words, a wide-ranging vocabulary. He indicated that he had been watching our television services and had been drawn to the sermons and to the services of worship. And then with a mounting urgency in his voice, he said, "Let's face it, I've got everything that money can buy, but something is missing in my life. When I hear you preach, I know that you have something that I do not have, and I want it." As gently as I could, I told him that I was not at all sure that I had all that he thought I had, but I would share all that I knew and had experienced of Jesus Christ with him. He was right up against it. He had solved one of the basic hungers. He had all of the bread like this that he needed, but he needed something more. A beautiful young lady that I watched grow up has fallen upon hard times in total rebellion against her parents. Her life has been and is a nightmare that we pray will never befall any of our children or the children of this church. A series of lovers here today, gone tomorrow. At least two abortions along the way. A stormy marriage that's now over. Periodic beatings and abuse. Caught in a cycle of abuse and need that drives her to despair. She cannot live with herself or her husband or her parents. Her parents are caught between distress and anger. Something basic drifted to the surface of her life. And out of her desperation, she made her way to my study and said, "What's going to happen with me? I want to get my life straightened out. What is missing?" I can tell you, it was a deeper inner hunger that must be satisfied in your life and in mine. And I want to tell you today, I can tell you that dollars and status and security have an insatiable appetite that can never satisfy, nor will it ever fully satisfy you or me. I do not care how big a bulge there is in your stock portfolio, how much land you own, how many CDs you have on deposit. I can tell you that in the final analysis, when the dust settles on all of life, that it will not and it cannot satisfy. That's why the position of the church is always outward. Give, give, give. Because if you turn your life inward, it will finally shrivel your soul. And we need to hear that. Here we sit in all of our abundance and our affluence. Senator Mark Hatfield once said to Mother Teresa, "How can you get on the streets of Calcutta every day, day after day, to minister to the sick and to the dying? You can never meet the need." She replied, "The Lord God Almighty does not call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful." Hear that? When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he said something basic. He knew that the hungers of this world, physically and spiritually, are real. He showed us the way to meet both hungers by sharing what we have and by sharing our Christ with all who will listen. But there is more. There is more. And so note with me, thirdly, that I believe that the primary focus of your life and mine should be on satisfying the spiritual hunger that gnaws at our innermost being. In many places, time and time again, our Lord centers on this spiritual hunger in the Holy Book. He says, "No one coming to me will ever be hungry again." He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He said, "Seek first." Hear that? Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and these other things will be added unto you. Bread, as it is here, is used as a symbol. It represents all of the technology, all of the material goods, the abundance that is ours, all of the conveniences and gadgets, all of the entertainments and the arts, all of the things that make life beautiful and good. And he is saying to you and me that life is bigger than all of that. There is a powerful temptation in life to think that this bread is enough. Let's face it. Most of your energy and mine is spent on the bread that cannot fully satisfy, which most of us here today have in abundance. We have more than we need. of the things we taste, feel, hear, touch, see, and smell. But what happiness has it brought us? We are a violent society. Crime is rearing its head at every level. There is a rampant breakdown of the American family. What happiness has this bread brought us? The hunger that stalks your life and mine is a deeper hunger that the heart knows but the eyes cannot see, that the hands cannot touch, that the nose cannot smell, that the ears cannot hear, and the tongue cannot taste it. There is a deeper hunger in us that must be satisfied if we are to be all that God meant us to be and wants us to be. And that deeper hunger is seen as we teach our children how to walk, but tell them nothing about where to walk. As we teach them how to read, but give no direction as to what they should read. We are talking about focus, about priority. When life has that proper focus and that deeper hunger is met, I can tell you, Jesus promised that he will give us everything else in great abundance. When the proper focus comes in your life and mine, three things happen. And I tell you quickly, there is a sense of satisfaction, of well-being that abides. Secondly, there is a larger purpose that takes hold of your life and mine. Throughout this sermon, I have hinted and alluded to and pointed in the direction that life is larger for you and for me than the things we handle and touch and see and taste and hear and smell. Life is larger than what we can hold in our hands. There is a larger purpose that summons you and me. We are called to meet the actual hungers of friend and neighbor, but also to touch the deeper hunger of friend and neighbor's heart. Ours is a life of giving rather than getting, of sharing and reaching out rather than grasping and holding to ourselves. Albert Schweitzer not only taught us by what he wrote, but he taught us by who he was. He didn't talk about Africa and all of its need. He went to Lamborghini and there devoted his life. And he said, every man has to seek his own way to make his own self more noble and to realize his true worth. You must give some time to your fellow man. When we eat of the bread that Christ came to give us, we shall not only have a sense of satisfaction, but life shall be motivated for you and for me by a larger purpose. And then we shall experience an abiding certainty. You could miss it in our text if you're not careful. No one coming to me shall ever be hungry again. There should be a sense of certainty about our fate. It might come soon or come late, but it should come. If you don't have it today, don't give up. Keep going. Work hard. Keep the faith. For he promised that he is the bread of life, and no one coming to him will ever be hungry again. There's a remarkable story about the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese plant the seed, water it, fertilize it. During the first year, nothing happens. The second year, third year, fourth year, and the fifth year, nothing happens. Suddenly, in the fifth year, after 4.5 years of watering and fertilizing and watching the ground where the seed was planted and nothing happens, the bamboo tree shoots out of the earth and grows 90 feet in 6 weeks. And the question is this: did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks or in 5 years? The answer is 5 years. If they had not applied water and fertilizer every year for 5 years, there would have been no bamboo tree. We are all like that tree. We must work hard, apply the faith, respond to the opportunities that God gives us, and then by the grace of God, we will come to know an abiding sense of certainty. And then we shall experience what the hymn writer set to music: drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Ernest Gordon, dean of the chapel at Princeton, was a prisoner of war in Asia in one of the death camps. He wrote of that experience in a remarkable book called In the Valley of the Kwai. And in that book he says that the the first part of their prison experience was centered on bread, and the prisoners became animals. It was the survival of the fittest. It was dog eat dog. They would steal another person's bread. And the camp had no sense whatever of fellowship and support of one another. And then a man named Angus shared a piece of his bread with another prisoner who was wounded and sick. He went out and got medicine for this prisoner. He gave this wounded prisoner who lived his blanket. And Angus died. And as the story got around the camp of what Angus had done, it was transforming. Prisoners began to help one another. They began to study their Bibles together. They erected a crude altar and began to worship. They began to spend long hours fashioning artificial limbs for the amputees, using whatever materials they could find. The atmosphere of the camp was transformed, and they were immediately caught up in a spirit of hopefulness and helping one another. And when new prisoners came to the camp, they experienced a fellowship that was operative there. And when the camp was finally liberated and the liberating army wanted to execute their captors on the spot, it was the prisoners who said, "We plead for mercy." And in his book, Ernest Gordon asked the question, what was there that made it possible for that situation to turn around? And this is what he said. The prisoners became a church. They became a community of Jesus Christ. In the long ago, he said to a crowd that pressed him one day, who hungered for the bread of this world, he said to them, This is not enough. There is another kind of bread that you must have and that I must have. And he gave us a great promise. I am, he said, the bread of life. No one coming to me will ever be hungry again. How hungry are you today for the bread that really satisfies? We give thanks, our Father, for this precious promise of our Lord. We ask your blessings upon us as we leave today in pursuit of bread, and in our pursuits, help us to find the bread that really matters. In Christ's name, amen.